Voice of the Cape Drive Time, welcome back to the show. In today's Book Friday, our title is Death on the Limpopo by Sally Andrew. And to tell us something about the author very, very quickly, she has also written Recipes for Love and Murder and Tani Maria and the Satanic Mechanic, two books that have sold well and have been translated into 14 languages across five continents. Sally Andrew, welcome.
Hi, Shafiq. Thanks for having me on your show. Isn't this lovely rain we're having?
It's absolutely beautiful. We just hope that some of this rain can actually get into the very thirsty Karoo as well.
Yes, I hope so too. We usually get the last drop once it's spread everywhere else first.
But let's hope there's lots left over for the Karoo. But let's get to matters at hand. Death on the Limpopo. In fact, when I was looking at your famous character, Tani Maria, we'll talk a bit about her later on. For our listeners, I would just tell them that she is the Karoo version of a Titi from the Boer Kaap, except this time you've got Ladysmith, buttermilk rusks instead of cook sisters, and a Tani. What inspired you to create such a character and then, of course, to go on such rollicking adventures?
It's very difficult to say. People always say, where do you get your ideas? And my standard answer is to copy Agatha Christie, who says she used to get them from Fortnum's and Mason's, and I get mine from the spa in Ladysmith. They've got a two-for-one special every Tuesday. But this particular idea, I mean, if I think of the moment, I do remember sitting under a Camille Dorung tree in Namibia and formulating a notion of an agony aunt who could answer letters on a broad range of themes related to love, but also to do with food. She's obsessed with food. I live just outside Ladysmith in the Clan Karoo, so I was drawing on the kind of characters, but more the place. Just, I really love the Karoo and the wildness of it and the openness and the small town. So Tani Maria is an agony aunt in a small town working on the Clan Karoo Gazette. And she plays a role for me in that she's a little bit crazy, so she's fun. I want to have someone to make me laugh. And she's very grounded, which is helpful to me. And she's a mixture of, she's half Afrikaans, half English, so she's got an interesting mix of aspects. I might have made her fully Afrikaans, but I'm English, and I thought I'm going to do some things that aren't right, so I gave her this Afrikaans left-wing father just to account for any of her too off-the-wall strangeness. But she's a lovely character who I feel has now come to be a friend in my life. So when people ask where she came from, it's almost like, what? You mean, I how should I know?
Yeah, in fact, I think sometimes probably the safest answer to all the questions I'm asking to say is, just it's there, like a mountaineer says, why do you climb a mountain? He says, it's there.
Or you can just say, pass, if the question's too difficult. If you want to answer the questions in English or Afrikaans, pass.
Right. Now, Tani Maria, just very quickly, has done some traveling, not in terms of her adventures, but in terms of being exposed to a wide audience. I was impressed to see 14 different languages. So Tani Maria has certainly found herself to be something of an export.
Yes, it's quite strange because I mean, it's something very specific, very local, very Clan Karoo, very South African, Afrikaans, English, and very specific. But I think there was something archetypal in the character and in the stories, and in, because it's a murder mysteries. We sometimes forget to state the obvious when we know it.
Yes.
These are cozy murder mysteries. And so there's also something in the genre that grabs people. But I think there's something in the character and in small town that people relate to around the world. And she's very much interested in, apart from solving murders and being interested in food, she's on a journey around opening her heart. So I think that what people were connecting with was that archetypal thing that does underlie the specificity of a small place, but still there are things that are in common around the world. But I must say it was quite a surprise to me that there was such interest with so many. I mean, there were 22 publishers over a very short period of time. So there was something that in the South African story and in the way that Tani Maria tells it, because I write in the first person from her voice, that grabbed the imagination of a lot of publishers very fast.
She's a very, very reassuring character, isn't he? As I say, your typical agony aunt when there's a problem.
Yeah,
she's always making a cup of tea and indulging in these recipes for all seasons. And
but she's also a bit crazy and
yes,
fun. So she's got that sort of very comforting, like we might all know of an aunt who's like that, but she's also got this little bit craziness and an unusual open-mindedness.
Yeah, because in fact she's got a boyfriend, policeman boyfriend called Hank.
Hank Bonamaya, with the detective with the chestnut moustache.
That's right, and a hairy chest. Okay,
the details you remember.
But indeed, I mean, it's quite funny. I mean, she cooks. I can remember in the book she cooks a meal for Hank, more to seduce him than to appeal to his taste buds. But I think that sort of gives the listener idea of the character of this lady. But something that really got me in the book. I finished reading the book, and all of a sudden,
to the end,
and there were recipes, and I burst out laughing. I don't know why. I have no idea why, but to me, it was the funniest thing I've seen for a long time when I saw her recipes at the end of the book.
The first book starts off with her actually saying, she wants to write a recipe book, and then she ends up getting caught up in the murder story. But what she really is interested in is the recipes, and they do play a crucial role throughout the book. They're used because people write in with the agony aunt problem, and she gives them a grounded, common sense solution quite quickly, but then she gives them a recipe that's really going to help their problems. And she uses food to get clues out of suspects that she interviews, and to get people to talk. And the food's really a theme that's all the way through the book. So
yeah,
I shouldn't be too surprised. At the end.
Yeah, stewed guavas with chili and garlic, pineapple butternut cake, almond cake with amaretto glaze, and everybody's tongues are now on their desks right now listening to that one, all the recipes. Do you get any feedback? Do people actually try these recipes? I'm sure they do.
Are you got a pun on the word feedback there?
It's not deliberate, I promise you.
They do, and I take the recipe section very seriously. I'm not a chef myself, although I do enjoy eating. So I employ professional chefs. So Marie Louise Guy and Kali Maritz, for example, they helped me to perfect the recipes. And I spend a lot of time reading up on recipes and tasting and making sure that they're really moan out loud delicious. And people take them very seriously. And so I'm very glad I put all that time and energy in, probably more because I'm not a chef. So it's a big research part for me, and I make sure everything is very well tested. And a lot of people give feedback, the pun intended now, and a lot of book clubs have evenings where they bake all the recipes and have the whole three-course meal just from Tani Maria's recipes while they're reading and discussing the book. And they sometimes have Tani Maria-themed parties with all the food and dress up in Veldskunde because she loves her Veldskunde.
Yeah, because in this particular book, she gets a new pair of Veldskunde from her policeman boyfriend, Red Veldskunde, and then obviously
Red Veldskunde, that's quite an exciting moment.
And she goes on her, we're not going to talk too much about adventures because people must buy the book to find out. But what I find interesting was at the end of the book, they find themselves inside, not outside, inside a baobab tree. Interesting, yeah.
That was actually about my partner Bowen's a wilderness artist, and it was a tree. I haven't been in it, but the one he's been in. But maybe it is worth mentioning this book. I won't give away too much of the plot. It's on the back of the book. But in the other previous two books, they're set in Ladysmith. And in this third book, a new character arrives, Sabanguni, who's strong, black, no sugar, who arrives in her black leathers on a motorbike, shakes the town up, and takes Maria on this adventure across the Cane Karoo, which I'm actually about to do again now, going through Carlisle, Prince Albert, then to Graaffreinet, and then up to the great, great green, greasy Limpopo River, where the climax of the story is. So it is a different from the others in that it is a bit of a girl's road trip. It's a bit of a Selma and Louise, and it's got more action and adventure and cliffhangers, some of them quite literal. Then the others are more classical murder mystery whodunit. And this has also got murders, and you want to know whodunit, but it's a different format from where there's this closed group. It's more of a chase and an adventure and bad guys on the tail. So the style is slightly different.
No, it certainly is. And of course, a little bit of South African politics intrudes.
Very
some
much
sort of references to personalities in our political landscape, who in your book, everybody was cheering on that one, actually meet some justice, which doesn't always happen.
that is the joy of writing these books. So there are big themes of corruption and fighting the trillion-dollar nuclear deal, which did actually happen. So there are resonances with actual battles that have happened and been won. But the joy of being a writer is you get to write the best case scenario. And that's kind of a contract with a lot of murder mysteries, especially cozy murder mysteries, is that justice will prevail and the good guys will win. And a lot of, interestingly, a lot of the books I've written, they have, I mean, obviously these things are cycled. Like in the previous book, there was fight against fracking. And I do have political and social and environmental passions that aren't, I don't push them hard in the book, but they're in the background. And often enough, I find I write a story and then that thing happens. So fracking does get stopped in the Karoo. It has now it's sort of raised its ugly head again and maybe need to write another book. But I sometimes have this notion that I'm creating reality, so I better make sure that they're happy endings so that reality can copy some of that.
Indeed, just sort of as a footnote, just to reassure you, I've been told by people who are geologists that the idea of the South African government fracking in the Karoo is just a pipe dream, that the quality of the oil I get from fracking in the Karoo just isn't worth the expense. So I'm always amazed when I hear that story being resuscitated. It's just not worth it, and it's crazy.
I think it's just people who get paid to research it, but I don't think I'm going to stand by you, and I'm not going to believe in that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering if I could read you just the first paragraph of the book.
No, please do. In fact, it's always nice when rather than me read the book, otherwise people won't buy it. Yeah,
but you must. But the best one to listen to is Sandra Prinsloo has done the audio books of the first two, and she just reads so beautifully. So I always feel quite an inferior imitation when I read. But nevertheless, I shall go ahead. Just read a paragraph.
Please do.
It was a cold winter's evening in the Clane Karoo. Henk was working, and I was in bed early, in my pink flannel nightie, reading Rudyard Kipling's Just So Stories, the book my father used to read to me when I couldn't sleep. My favorite story was The Elephant's Child. My dad said that I had the curiosity, the insatiable curiosity, of the young elephant that just had to know what the crocodile ate for dinner, the kind of curiosity that can get you into trouble. It almost killed the elephant, and it nearly killed me.
Indeed, excellent. And of course, that's page one. And when one gets to about page 363, it's still trucking, and it really is a very enjoyable read. I normally get given all the political books. I really enjoyed this one.
Okay, so you could have a bit of fun with politics in the background.
Yeah, but Sally, was definitely an enjoyable read. And of course, Death on the Limpopo, I do recommend, a Tani Maria mystery. And just quickly, are there any more countries that Tani Maria is actually going to be going to?
Oh, well, I hope she's going to... in the book or in the world? Where she's being published or where she's going to travel to?
Where she's being published. You mustn't tell us where she's traveling to. That's the next book.
No, actually, the next book, I'm going to keep her more in Ladysmith. That's sort of a little bit with cozy mysteries. You're sort of not allowed to go too far too often. You've got to come back, reconnect. But I don't. I hope so. I mean, the Frankfurt Book Fair has just happened. My agent has just been there, Isabel Dixon, and the Blake Friedman Literary Agency. And they, I mean, some books get published in 30 countries. So I don't see why we shouldn't keep spreading. But it's unknown yet. Each time's a whole new ball game. And thankfully, it's not my department. That is the joy of having an agent. I just get to focus on the writing. Someone else must sell the books.
No, absolutely. That's definitely the way to do it. So, Sally Andrew, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you so much.
Amuzi Books, Death on the Limpopo, a Tani Maria mystery. It is definitely at a bookshop near you. Go buy it before it gets...
I have told that they're sold out of the warehouse. So you've got to buy quickly in the bookshop. But there'll be more... If they're not in your bookshop now, they'll be in stock again on the 11th of November. But it's out of the warehouse. The bookshop should still have it.
Definitely. So Death on the Limpopo, a recommended read. Sally Andrew, thanks for chatting to us. Thanks for the time. Best of luck for the next one.
Thanks so much, Efrik. Thanks for the chat.